Well, hey friends, it is so great to see you today. I hope you're doing well. My name is Clay Munkus, and I get the honor, and really it's just a privilege, to be one of the pastors here at Next Level. And I want to say welcome to everybody who's watching us today, whether you're here in Charlotte or somewhere else around the country. We are so glad that you're with us. And if you've been watching us for a while, maybe you've been following us for a month or two or ever how long it is, one simple way that you can help us accomplish our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus where we live, work, and play is to simply like and subscribe to the channel that you're watching right now. And as always, if you find this message helpful, I would personally just love it if you would share it with someone, and maybe they can be helped by it as well. Well, real quick, before we get going, I just want to say that I am really, really excited. At this point today, we're 2 weeks away from Easter Sunday. And starting on Easter Sunday, April 4th, we're going to be adding back our second in-person service at 11 a.m. So if you're ready to come back and join us, starting on Easter, you're going to have two choices. You can come at 9:30 a.m. or 11 a.m. And we look forward to, and I certainly look forward to, seeing many of you right here live and in person. Well, today we're continuing our series that we are calling How to Enjoy the Rest of Your Life. And again, before I get started, I want you to pull out your homework from last week. If you remember, I asked you 2 weeks ago to make a list of the people that are kind of in your sphere of influence. And I said we're going to use this as our starting place for people that you can encourage. And then last week, I asked you really simply to pray about taking half of those names off of your list, because we needed to simplify things, right? That's what we said. So have your simplified list next to you as we go through this message. And at the end, we're going to give you yet another homework assignment regarding that simplified list in just a moment. So as we get started, one of my goals in the few short minutes that we have together today is for you to have an understanding of the power of words, that there is great power in words. And during the pandemic that we've all been going through, one of the things that I've gained some laughs out of is reading examples of how not to use words. For example, here are just a couple of notes that were sent in. These are actual notes that were sent in to schools that said things like this. Today, my son is under doctor's orders not to take PE. All right, well, we've been there before. Please execute him. I'm not sure how that kid felt about that mom or dad's note. The next one is, please excuse John's absence yesterday. He was sick and I had him shot. Right? So words are powerful. Now, churches are not infallible either. To prove it, here's a couple of kind of misblunders of words showing up on church signs. So this is church sign number one. You can read down here. It says, prophecy class canceled due to unforeseen circumstances. Right? I don't think someone really thought that one all the way through. Sign two, this was actually sent to me outside. It's not my friend's church, but outside my friend's church, another church that says, we love hurting people, right? Let the love of God take your hurt away, right? They love hurting people. So either they messed it up or, I don't know, maybe they're just being truthful. But this one I think is really funny, one of my all-time favorites. Do you know what hell is? Come hear our preacher. Some of you, maybe you have lived through that experience at a church, and you're going, well, that might be pretty truthful. But there's power in words, and there's power in the way that we use those words. And what we're talking about today is how we can use our words for encouragement. And all around us are people who are craving encouragement. One of the things that we all have in common is that we love encouragement. The person next to you is someone that needs encouragement, will grow as a result of encouragement, and I guarantee you they just crave encouragement. A couple of years ago, I was in New York, and we were having a business dinner with around, I don't know, a dozen people or so at this little hole-in-the-wall Italian restaurant. And as you might expect, there was a lot that was going on with trying to take care of all these people, you know, getting the drinks right, recommending the right wine, making sure everything came out on time, all that stuff was going on. And I'm sure that we've all had terrible waiters before, but this guy, man, he was the best. He made the night incredible. He was funny. He was affirming. He never missed anything. He was just a great waiter. And at the end of the night, after dinner, I pulled him aside and I said, hey, I just want to thank you for the night. You were great. I just can't thank you enough for the role you played in making tonight one of the best dinner experiences I have ever had. And I could see that he was a little shocked, right? But a couple of minutes later, he came down and he stooped down next to my chair and he said, "Hey, this is my family's restaurant and I have worked here since I was a kid. And tonight is the first time a customer has ever thanked me like that." Now, I don't say that to pat myself on the back. I tell you that story because I think people that you see every day, people sitting next to you, people that live next door and across the street from you and work with you, I think people everywhere are craving encouragement. Last month, I was at this week-long meeting with some pastors that I've gotten to know really well, and their pastors are pretty big churches. And again, most of them are my friends now. In one of the sessions, I was talking with this one guy that I really would consider a friend. I know that he was getting beat up pretty badly during the pandemic. So I proceeded to spend about 15 minutes or so telling him all the things that I think he is doing well and all the things that I see in him that are admirable. When I got to the end of what I had to say, I could see that he was getting emotional. So after a moment, he spoke up and he said, "You know, Clay, in 30 years that I've been in ministry, no one has ever encouraged me for just being me. People have thanked me for sermons. People have encouraged me for our building programs. People have thanked me for all the different things that I have done as a pastor. But until now, no one has ever encouraged me for just being the person that I am." And guys, that's sad. Why is it that a pastor has to go 30 years without being encouraged, without being thanked for just being who he is? Well, I think there's a couple of roadblocks, honestly, in the way of encouragement. So let's look at a couple of those. And the first roadblock is what I call the insecurity factor. The insecurity factor. And the key word here is the word intimacy. I think that sometimes it's difficult for us to encourage because encouragement really, truly is very intimate. So when we encourage someone, it feels like we're exposing ourselves. And our personal insecurity can be so great that we fear rejection of that encouragement. And that fear begins to keep our mouths shut. I know marriages right now where they don't encourage one another anymore because that encouragement is too intimate. So now their marriage, it lacks encouragement. And what happens, instead of encouraging one another and growing together, they're growing apart. And they're becoming more and more like roommates rather than marriage partners. Well, another way that we deal with our insecurity is by offering something that sounds encouraging, but then we add a jab. So you might have someone say, "Hey, you did a good job on that project." But then they have to add something like, "Especially for someone with an IQ as low as yours," right? So they build you up on one hand, and then they smack you down with the other. So the insecurity factor, intimacy. Another roadblock is what I would call the inability factor. Key word here is anger, right? There are some of us who have anger in our lives, and we just haven't dealt with it, and so we have become angry people. And the words that come out of our mouth reflect anger. What's long-term anger is we haven't dealt with it, and now it's immediate anger. But here's the thing. It's hard to say something kind or encourage someone if you're angry with them. And if you have unresolved anger, you will find it very, very difficult to even see things in people that are worth encouraging. In fact, you'll probably produce more discouragement than encouragement, because most of your words and actions will reflect the negativity that's going on in your heart. Now, I know that there are many, many more roadblocks. I only mentioned two, kind of just to get you thinking. And as I have you thinking about that, let me ask you, what is the roadblock in your life? What keeps you from being a person of encouragement? What keeps you from building other people up? Do you think it's going to make them too arrogant? I hear it all the time. Are you going to make people arrogant or cocky if you affirm or encourage them? I know a lot of people think that. That's not going to happen. Most of the arrogant people that you know are the most insecure people you have ever met. They just need your encouragement, and they need your encouragement more than ever. So, again, what's your roadblock? You need to define that if you want to become a person of encouragement. You need to work through that. Well, once you break through whatever those roadblocks are, What are the results of encouragement? Let's just look at two results that come from encouragement. Number one, it brings change. It brings change. In John chapter 1, I love this story. We get the story of Jesus. He meets Simon. Like, his brother Andrew brings Simon. And I don't know if you know much about Simon, but Simon basically is this clumsy, big mouth, arrogant fisherman. But when Jesus meets Simon, he changes his name immediately. He says this, if you look in John chapter 1, verse 42, then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus says, your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas, or Peter, which means rock. So he meets Simon, and the first thing that he does is change his name. And he says, you're now going to be called Cephas, or Peter, which means rock. And I can just imagine all of these guys sitting around hearing this and thinking, Peter? Peter the rock? How about calling him something like Sandy or Pebbles? I mean, that's honestly, Jesus, that is more like him. But Jesus saw beyond his past. Jesus saw beyond his inadequacy. And then later in his time with Peter, Jesus has this conversation with him. And this is what he does as he reaffirms it in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. He says, I tell you that you are Peter, right? Rock. And on this rock, I will build my church. Guys, that's what encouragement does. It brings change. One of the most influential stories that I've ever heard is a story of a woman named Cheryl Pruitt. Cheryl Pruitt grew up in kind of this rural area, and in that area, she helped her dad in his grocery store during the summer months. And every week, the milkman, he would come in, and he would rub her on the head, and he'd say, hey, how's my little Miss America? And Cheryl would smile, and she would help him kind of line all the milk bottles up. And while he was doing this, he would tell her, and he would encourage her, that she was beautiful and that she was talented. So every summer, every week, he'd come by, rub her on the head, how's my Miss America, and begin to tell her that she was beautiful and talented. Soon, after a few years, she began to feel comfortable with that name. And all of a sudden, it became a goal in her life. And when she won the Miss America title in 1980, she gave credit not only to God's grace and goodness, but also to the milkman who encouraged her and believed in her. I think that's a great story. I think about it every day when I see my daughter and I rub her on the head and I say, hey, how's my little Miss Billionaire, right? Growing up, taking care of daddy when he gets old, right? Yeah, there's the power in those words. But seriously, encouragement brings out change. Simon, you are a rock, and upon you, I'm going to build my church. Second result of encouragement is it brings confidence. Right? It brings confidence. It brings change, and it also brings confidence. After Jesus was crucified and resurrected, in the beginning of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, this same Peter was very instrumental in building the church. Look how Luke records this in the book of Acts. He says, Peter said to them, change your hearts and lives. And about 3,000 people were added to the number of believers that day. Not only did Jesus believe in him and bring change into his life, but his encouragement built confidence in Peter. And I don't know about you, but I can't think of anything that I want for my friends, my family, my kids, than for them to have confidence about their life, confidence that they can be the person that created them, that God created them to be, that they can grow up saying that I am an unrepeatable miracle. I'm an original masterpiece. And if you're a parent, I want you to write these four words down. I believe in you. I believe in you. My dad would say that to me all the time, whether it was at a baseball game, whether it was selling bags of oranges for the high school band, whether it was going to college, whether it was starting a church. My dad was the first member of the church I planted back in Atlanta. Whatever it was, he would say, I believe in you. You can do it. Encouragement, it just builds confidence. Encouragement is a constant yes in a world that says no. Think about that. Encouragement is a constant yes in a world that says no. What is our world saying? What is the message that they're sending all of the time? You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not thin enough. You're not wealthy enough. No, 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 no. We grow up under that message and we wonder why so many of us run around being incredibly insecure. Encouragement is a constant yes in a world that says no. So how can you become an encourager? Let me give you two quick steps, and then we're going to talk a whole lot more about this next week. But one of the action steps you can take is this. I'm calling it perform eye surgery. Perform eye surgery. What do I mean by that? Be on the lookout. Be looking for things. We've been using this verse every week. Let me read it again in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, where it says this. But encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Do it today. Be on the lookout. Perform eye surgery so that you catch people doing things right. There's a classic business book out there that I read a long time ago called The One-Minute Manager. And I was flipping through it yesterday because I knew it said something about encouragement. And here's what it says in The One-Minute Manager. It says this, very simple. Catch people doing things right. Simple. When you see someone doing something that catches your eye, just take a few seconds and give them a word of encouragement. If you perform eye surgery and you're looking for things to encourage about people, you'll find it. You'll find it. So perform eye surgery. The second thing you can do in heading towards being a person of encouragement is perform heart surgery. Perform heart surgery. Right, what do you mean by that, Clay? Well, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, this is what Jesus says. A good person has good things in his heart. And so he speaks the good things that come from his heart. But an evil person has evil in his heart. So he speaks the evil things that come from his heart. What kind of words come out of your mouth? Clearly, Jesus says the words that come out of your mouth are a reflection of what's in your heart. So, many of us, we may need to perform a little heart surgery and ask God to be a bigger part of our hearts and our lives. We can love because he first loved us. And maybe some in here need to make a commitment today to perform heart surgery in their lives because encouragement promotes God's love. It just does. When you encourage people, people aren't used to that. And they'll say, hey, well, what's different about you? Why are you encouraging me? I do my best to encourage everybody that I work with. This has been true whether it's been me working in church world or whether I was working in business world. Because most people are not getting encouragement in their workplace. I once had someone tell me that their last boss told them that his encouragement was, if you still have your job at the end of the week, you're doing okay. And guys, that's not atypical. I figure a lot of people are like that. But encouragement promotes God's love. I'm not sure if you've ever gone shopping for a set of real pearls, but one of the neat thing about pearls is that no two pearls are really alike, and they are really pretty to look at. But when that salesperson places those pearls against the black velvet that they have there on the counter, wow, do they pop. Like, it doesn't matter the size of the pearl, that black velvet just promotes and projects the beauty of that pearl. That is exactly what encouragement is. Encouragement is the black velvet of life. Encouragement is the black velvet that promotes and projects the beauty that God has instilled in each of us. And sure, we can spend our time telling each other what worms we are and how depraved we are and that we are separate from God and we're not worthy. I think people already know that, okay? But I think our lives would be changed and other people around us if we became men and women of encouragement. Encouragement becomes that black velvet. It promotes the beauty of God's design. Now, speaking of encouraging people, I want to go back to that list of people that we created way back in week one. I'll put this slide up just so you remember, right? Where we were talking about your sphere of influence, your oikos. And we said 2 weeks ago that I wanted you to think about the people that God has surrounded you with, your sphere of influence. These are the people that have the greatest potential for you to encourage. Encouragement is going to have the greatest effect on these people. Then last week I said that your list probably had way too many names on it and it would be overwhelming for you to try to encourage all of the people that are on your list. So I asked you to cut the list in half. Now, this is what I want you to do this week. I want you to take that list of people that you've already cut in half, and I want you to cut it in half again, maybe even further. I want you to reduce that list down to three or four people you feel God wants you to focus your encouragement on. And again, if you are an extreme introvert, maybe you got to add a name or two just to get to three people. So spend some time this week doing that, praying, asking God, of the names that are left on my list here, God, who are the three or four people that you want me to focus on? Do that, and then we're going to do one more thing with that list next week. And no, I know what you're thinking. We will not be cutting more names off of that list. We're actually going to get to some action items next week. But before we leave today, let me say one final thing about being an encourager before I pray for us. Let's remember the most important thing about the power and practice of encouragement when it comes to the words that we speak. The real issue is not our actual words, but it is our hearts. It does not have as much to do with what comes out of our mouths as it does what our hearts love. Again, look what Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, echoes almost the same thing. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what's in your heart. Or you can also translate it, out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. What we say and how we say it is all about the heart. The only way we're going to become individuals who speak words of true life and grace and encouragement is when we allow the Lord to take over our hearts, to transform our hearts, to change our desires, our affections, to change our passions and our very character, all by His grace alone. Only Jesus can do this in us, and He longs to do it. Hey, let me pray for us this week. God, I just want to thank You for Your encouragement to us. Thanks for Your grace that You love us no matter where we've come from, no matter what we've done, because there's nothing we can do to earn Your love. God, I pray that because of Your word, because of Your encouragement to us, that we might become men and women of encouragement. And we all pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, hey, friends, before you head out into whatever you have going on today, let me just ask you once more and remind you once more to take your list out of the people that are in your sphere of influence, your oikos, and ask you to look at those people and narrow it down to three or four people that you feel God wants you to become intentional about encouraging. And once again, I can't overstate the importance of this step because we're going to use it one more time in the last part of this series next week. Now, if you think today's message might be valuable to somebody you know, would you mind sharing this video? Not only could it be helpful for them, but by sharing this content as well as liking and subscribing to this channel, you're kind of helping us accomplish our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus. And as we say every week along those same lines, could I also ask you to head over to our website at nextlevelchurch.org/give. Choose one of those giving options there. Every dollar that you give, make sure that your church is prepared more than ever to fund our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus where we live, work, and play. Guys, we exist solely on the giving that you give. We've got no benefactors here. I would love for you to join us in that. Now, by way of benediction, let me read again Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, one more time where it says this, "But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." May you this week choose to push past the roadblocks and be an encouragement to everyone that God has placed around you. Hey guys, thanks for being with us this week. I want you to have a blessed week this coming week. We'll see you on all of our social channels, Facebook, Instagram. Just know that I am praying for you, our staff is praying for you, and I love you. We'll see you back next week.